Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start for Dwarka, he saw Uttara hurrying towards him in fear. Purport. All the members of the family of the Pandavas were completely dependent on the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected all of them in all circumstances. The Lord protects everyone, but one who depends completely upon Him is especially looked after by the Lord. The father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent on the father. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, I was thinking of a story that I heard a while ago, and it's from the Mahabharata. So, after the battle of Kurukshetra was finished, Maharaj Yudhishthira had his court open so people can come and ask him questions. And there was one such instance when some strange things started happening in society. So one day, one of the citizens comes to the gate and he says to the doorkeeper, he said, I want to see Maharaj Yudhishthira. So he said, well, he's kind of busy with certain things because I got an important question. He said, well, I'll call somebody. So they called Bhima. So Bhima says, I can answer your question. He said, all right, what happened? He says, I was walking through the town, and there were some farms there. And he said, I noticed that there was a fence around the farm, but the fence was eating up into the field. Instead of protecting the field, it was eating up the field. He goes, I thought this was very interesting. So what does that mean? And so Bhima is visibly confused. He's known for his strength and his valor. He's not, of course, he is intelligent, but Yudhishthira is more known for his intelligence. And while they're having this conversation, another person comes along and he says, I've seen something strange as well. He said, what did you see? He said, I saw that there was a lady who was carrying some water in a bucket. And at one point she stopped and she poured all the water into 6 small buckets. But she said, when she put the water back into the buckets, it was only half full. It started off full, but then later on it was only half full. So what happened? So then Bhima is even more confused now. So then at that same time, another person comes along. And then he says, I saw something interesting. Now this one is beyond logic, so don't try to imagine how it was going on. But essentially what was happening was, he said, I saw a person who was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Okay? So the elephant went through, but the tail got stuck. So he goes, that doesn't make sense. So Bhima's even more confused. And then a fourth guy comes along And then he says, I saw something really interesting. There was this big boulder on the path, and it was blocking the way. And there were many people who were trying to push it and remove it, but they couldn't. And they called in all the wrestlers, the strong men to move it, and they couldn't. And they called the bullock carts, and then they, you know, tied them to bulls, and they still wouldn't move. And then this sadhu comes along, and he just comes along, and he just waves his chadar, and then the boulder just goes flying. He goes, so what's the deal? What's happening? So Bhima says, all right, let's get Maharaj Yudhishthira on the case. So he gets Maharaj Yudhishthira on the case, and then Maharaj Yudhishthira says, you know what this is? He says, these are all the symptoms of Kali Yuga. So let's see if you can guess. Some of you may already know the story, but let's see if you can guess what it means. What's the first thing about the fence eating up the field? What does that mean? Maybe someone who hasn't heard the story before can try to answer. If you heard it before, you probably know all of these. But what does it represent, the fence eating up the field as a symptom of Kali Yuga? Go on, Rabindra. Yeah. So the fence is meant to protect the field. But in Kali Yuga, the protectors are the one who are exploiting the protected instead of protecting them. So the fence is there to protect the field like that. So then he says, okay, what's the second one? The second one is the water going from the big bucket to smaller buckets. And then when you put it back, it's half full. What does that represent? Yeah, people are being shortchanged, definitely. But there's an extension to that as well. It's said that parents will look after their kids, but the kids won't look after the parents when they're older. They only put half the effort. Then what about the elephant? Anything about the elephant? Yeah, no, that's right. We're on the right path. It's it. Yeah, so there's many ways to interpret it. Taruna Prabhu is saying, you don't see the small faults, but you see the big ones. What it's also explained is that the big crooks will get through the system openly, but the small thieves will get caught. There's big crooks in the government, everywhere, in big positions, and they're openly doing stuff which no one notices, but then the little people get stuck, okay, and they end up in jail. And then the fourth one about the sadhu moving the boulder. So it said there are many, many paths. Well, there are many different paths to go back to Godhead, but they don't work in Kali Yuga. And there are always obstacles on the path in the shape of big boulders. And if you want to remove these obstacles, all these other things are not going to work. The only thing that's going to work is the association of devotees and the sadhus and the Bhagavatam who can help you on your way back to Godhead. So for Kali Yuga, this is the process. And these are the different signs. Another sign of Kali Yuga is that you got a guy like me giving class, and all of you sitting there listening to me. So something's definitely wrong. But I would like to ask all of your blessings so I can say something for my own purification. And I do it as a service. I don't know how much wisdom I have to share. But if you get something out of it, great. If you don't, what to do? But yeah, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Especially all the senior Vaishnavas. We have Radhakanta Prabhu here. We have Srinivas Prabhu, Taruna Prabhu, Anuradha Mataji, Jagat Priya Mataji. So all the senior Vaishnavas' blessings. So whenever I give class, I often ask for feedback. But I don't ask anyone and everyone for feedback, because I got something called ego. So I only ask people who are encouraging. So last couple of times I gave class, I asked Sutapa Prabhu. I said, can you give me some feedback on my class? And he goes, yeah, it was amazing class. I said, okay, what's the next line? It's usually, when you ask Sutapa Prabhu something, it's sandwiched between there's good stuff, and there's your, you know, rectifications, and then there's more good stuff. So he said the good stuff. So I'm wondering, okay, what's the next line? So he said, when you give class, can you get a bit serious? You know, it's not like an entertainment program. You don't have to crack jokes up there, you know. You should get serious. You should look into some Vaishnava Acharya commentaries and, you know, try and give a deep class. So I took that advice. So I cut the jokes out of my class. And then I thought, let's look up some Vaishnava Acharya commentaries. So I took a book, the Saratadashini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and I thought, let's read up the commentary. So this was the commentary on the verse. Saineya means Satyaki, the grandson of Shini. That's it, just one line. So I thought, okay, I have to figure this out myself somehow. So looking at the purport, there are a few things mentioned in the verse, but the main theme is based on protection by the Lord, how the Lord protects everybody. And it's a very deep topic, and we'll look at it today, how and what this protection actually means, and how the Lord has been protecting. Prabhupada mentions how the Pandavas were completely dependent on the protection of the Lord. It's given in the purport. They were completely dependent, and that is why the Lord protected them in all circumstances. Now, it's very important, because to me what this means is, if you completely depend on the Lord, then the Lord will protect you in all circumstances. If you're partially dependent on the Lord will protect you in some circumstances. If you're not dependent on the Lord, then the Lord won't protect you. It's simple maths. And then I was thinking about this, and in the next line, Prabhupada confirms that. He says, the Lord protects you based on your level of dependence on Him. Okay, the more dependent you are, Krishna protects you more. And he gives the example of the father and the son. Okay, like sometimes there's a little kid who is very, very dependent on the Lord, on the father. Especially babies are really, really dependent on their parents. Like nowadays, there's so many babies around. And they're always, you know, dependent on their parents to look after them. They can't protect themselves from anything, literally. They can't even protect themselves from their own poo. And the parents have to, like, clean up their nappies and change everything, because they can't even figure that out themselves. So they're very dependent. That's why the parents protect them. As they grow up a little bit, they're more capable of dealing with certain things. But they're still dependent on their parents. Now, they're financially dependent, they're physically dependent, but even more, they're dependent, they need protection from the different elements in society. Okay? Now, here's a lesson on how to raise kids from Brahmachari. If your kids are growing up, then sometimes I've seen some people say that, oh, I want to give my kids some freedom so they can go and explore life, and they can make a decision for themselves if they want to be in Krishna consciousness or not. I don't think that's the best idea, because I think they need protection from all the bad influences that are out there. And by giving them freedom, you're not actually giving them freedom, you're just allowing them to be influenced by the other bad elements in society. You'd rather have them influenced by Krishna consciousness and in the association of devotees. And that protection is also needed when kids are growing up. And when they grow up a bit more, then they become less and less independent. Less and less, more and more independent and less dependent. And they don't need the father's protection so much anymore. Now, here's something interesting, okay? And I want you to think about this, is that as we grow in Krishna consciousness, okay, I think Krishna expects us to become more and more dependent on Him. When we are new to Krishna consciousness, we're enjoying the facilities, we enjoy a kirtan here and there, we do a little bit of service. 25 years down the line, if you're doing the same thing, then Krishna is going to question it a little bit. Hang on, are you becoming more dependent? I'm not talking about doing more things. I'm not talking about like achieving things or, you know, doing more hours of service. I'm talking about how is your dependence changing. Let me give you an example. If there is a little 5-year-old kid, okay, and say it's mom's birthday. So then the 5-year-old kid wants to give mom a birthday. So he doesn't have much ability or much facility. So what he may do, he may draw a diagram. And I've seen this happen. Like, you know, they usually draw something and give the mom a birthday gift. So then he may draw like mom and dad. So the mom's usually like a triangle with two sticks from the bottom, two sticks from top and around, and then some squiggly hair on top. And that's usually a square, okay, or a big round with a small round on top, two sticks here, there, and a little mountain and some river. And it's like happy birthday or happy anniversary or something, and gives it to the mom. And then what do you think the mom will say? She'll say, oh, this is so cute. She's so lovely. And then she'll hug the kid and this is great. You know, she'll really appreciate it. Okay. But 20 years later, when the kid is 25, if he draws the same kind of diagram and gives it to his mom on a birthday, you know, she's not going to do the same thing. She's going to be angry. She'll say, are you taking the mic? What's going on? You know? So the thing is, when the kid grows, the parents expect more of them. So in Krishna consciousness as well, when we grow, I think Krishna expects more of us. He doesn't expect us to keep doing the same thing. So as we grow in Krishna consciousness, a sign of advancement is how dependent are you. You may be more independent in the beginning, but as we grow in Krishna consciousness, we have to become more and more dependent on the Lord for things, rather than trying to figure it out ourselves. I thought that was a good point. So now, let's just look at the Pandavas and how the Pandavas were always dependent on the Lord. And this is a very famous chapter on the prayers of Queen Kunti. And as you go later on in the chapter, Queen Kunti describes how many, many times the Pandavas were saved by Krishna. And we're going to look at later on what this saving means, what this protection actually means. But can we actually think of some instances when how the Pandavas were saved right from the beginning? What was the first major incident when the Pandavas were in trouble, or some of the Pandavas were in trouble and Krishna saved them? Can you think of something? The first major thing when Krishna saved. Huh? Before that as well, there's something else. There was once when Bhima was poisoned. Yeah, Bhima was poisoned, yeah. So Bhima, you know, he's known for having a very good appetite. His name is Vrikodara. Vrikodara means wolf belly. Means he's always hungry. I don't know if you ever watched Tom and Jerry as a kid. I started watching Tom and Jerry after I was 18 because it was more intelligent. You need a lot of intelligence to figure out these cartoons. So in Tom and Jerry, there's Jerry's got a nephew, and he's called Nibbles. Okay, and when Nibbles comes as a gift to Jerry in a box, it says, "Please look after him. P.S. He's always hungry." Okay, Nibbles is always hungry, and if you watch those cartoons, he just runs straight out of the hole, you know, and then he jumps on top of Tom and on the refrigerator and grabs the cheese. Or sometimes Tom's munching something and he just puts his hand straight into his mouth and eats it. He can't control it because he's hungry. So Bhima was a bit like that. he couldn't control his hunger. When he's hungry, he has to eat. He couldn't even follow Ekadashi, which is a most very important day. And so Krishna gave him a facility for that. So that's called the Bhima Ekadashi. So Bhima was always hungry. So then Duryodhana said, well, that was his weak point. So he said, well, let's take advantage of that. So he gave him laddus and he poisoned them, snake poison. And then Bhima, of course, he ate all the laddus, and he was only a kid at that time. And then, so he fell unconscious, maybe even died, I'm not sure. And they wrapped him up in a blanket and then threw him into the water. But Krishna protected him. So he went down there. There was Varuna Dev, and then he came back even stronger with the strength of 10,000 elephants. So Krishna protected him. What was the next thing? Is what you said. The house of Shalak or house of Lak. So they built a house for the Pandavas. They said, well, you guys go and chill out. You know, you've been working too hard. Why don't you take a break? And, you know, Yudhishthira should have been suspicious. Why is he being so nice to me? but he naturally had faith in them because they were all brothers. So they went there. But again, Krishna saved them. Somehow or the other, he sent the message through Vidura, and then they worked it out and they escaped through a tunnel. So again, Krishna saved them. Okay. What was the next thing that happened when Krishna saved them? Gambling match. Yeah, something happened during the gambling match. Before the forest. Yeah, Draupadi. So that's a very important thing. Draupadi's disrobing. So Krishna saved her. Now, she wasn't dying or anything, but it's actually, we don't understand. This is actually quite a big thing. Like, disrobing a woman is a big thing. It, especially in the Indian tradition. Some of you Indian ladies may know, like, when you go to India, like, these ladies, when they're married, they can't even keep their, you know, they have to even cover their head before they go before their elders. Like, I know my sister, she wasn't even allowed to, like, uncover her head in front of her, you know, father-in-law and mother-in-law and like that. You know, everywhere you have to be covered. Like, there's so much respect. If you go to Rajasthan, if you go to Radha Govinda temple, all the ladies come there and they're always fully covered. They even cover their face. They don't even show their face because even that's considered rude. Like, you have to cover yourself before the Lord. So you'll see them, like, with saris, like, over their face in Rajasthan. In fact, everywhere, all ladies walk like that. So it's a very big thing. And that's the worst thing. The worst thing you could do is disrobe a woman in front of their elders. And that's what Dushasan, Duryodhana, and all the Kauravas tried to do. And it was a big thing. And even now it would be considered ridiculous, what to speak of 5,000 years ago in a cultured society. So it was a major thing. And because she was dependent on Krishna, Krishna saved her. Okay? So yet another time, Krishna to the rescue. Okay, what happens after that? Another time, Krishna saves them. When they were banished to the forest. Yeah. Definitely. Durvasa Muni and 10,000 of his disciples came to eat. And this was another trick by Duryodhan to get them into trouble. But again, Krishna saves them. Many, many times in the forest, they were also attacked by tribals, by demons, staying in the forest, and Krishna protected them. They had to also spend 1 year in incognito. And the deal was, if someone could find them within that 1 year, they have to do the whole cycle of 13 years again. So they had to live incognito. And they were staying there, and, you know, Duryodhan tried so many tricks to try and find them, because he never wanted them to come back. But again, Krishna saved them the whole time. What's the next one? Next time Krishna saves them. The Battle of Kurukshetra, yes. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, it's said that the warriors in the Kaurava side were much stronger. Like Drona. Drona was one of the strongest people. Like, he was their teacher. He's the one who taught all the Pandavas everything. So he was definitely more qualified. It said these warriors were like big sharks. Bhishma was an amazing personality. Like, did you know that before that, there was a whole episode with Bhishma where he was, you know, he captured the three princesses, Amba, Ambika, and da-da-da, to get, you know, anyway, we won't go into that story. But that angered Parshuram, and Parshuram is an incarnation of the Lord, and he came to fight with Bhishma, and even he couldn't defeat Bhishma, even though he's an incarnation of the Lord. So Bhishma was so powerful. And even he was defeated on the Battle of Kurukshetra by Arjuna. Because of Krishna, because Krishna was there with them. So Krishna protected all the Pandavas. They not just survived, but they even won the war. They got the kingdom back. So Krishna's always been protecting them. And then in the later last few verses, there were a couple of times more. One more time, Krishna protected them. Can you think of one recent one? Yeah, Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama, the Brahmastra. So he fired the Brahmastra at Arjuna and the Pandavas and everybody trying to kill them. But then Krishna was there. He told Arjuna what to do and he protected them. And now that was Brahmastra number one. And then he's banished into the forest. But then Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Gaura Nitai Ki Jai Jai. So he banished them into the forest. But then he still doesn't learn his lesson. So he wants to kill them again. So this is what's coming up now. And I won't break the suspense for you, but that's Brahmastra number two. And Krishna saves Parikshit Maharaj and all the Pandavas and Uttara again. So you see, all these times, Krishna has been protecting the Pandavas because they were always dependent on him. Now, let's look at some philosophy just a little bit for like 5-10 minutes, and then we can take some questions, because you can discuss this and churn this quite a bit. The question I would like to ask you is, what is it that Krishna is protecting? It said Krishna protects his devotees. But what is he protecting? He's protecting their devotion, his relationship, surrendering. if you surrender, yeah, Krishna protects. See, it's very interesting because sometimes it looks like Krishna is protecting them from dying. Like, you know, he protected Bhima from dying, he protected the Pandavas from being killed. Many, many times it looks like he is actually protecting them from being killed. But sometimes he doesn't protect them from being killed. Sometimes people actually die. And this is why the Bhagavatam is a very, very interesting book. Because none of the stories in the Bhagavatam are like, here's a person, he was a great devotee of the Lord, he performed devotional service, they lived happily ever after, and then he went back to Godhead. Actually, there's not even one story like that in the whole Bhagavatam. You'd think that if you're a devotee, then Krishna is always on your side. Well, he is, but in a different way. All the stories in the Bhagavatam are, he was a great devotee of the Lord, he suffered, people tried to kill him, he suffered even more, he took many, many births, you know, and he suffered even more, and then at the end he went back to Godhead, like that. So it's a book of failures in one sense. It's like everything's going wrong in the life of devotees. But Krishna is still protecting them. But what Krishna is protecting is not the body. The body is not a big thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna, he says, dishonor is worse than death. Krishna is actually protecting, like you said, the devotion. And Krishna is also protecting the status and honor of the devotees as devotees. And by doing this, he is glorifying them more and more. Krishna may not protect you from death. Okay? Krishna may not save you from suffering. You may still suffer. Krishna is saying suffering is okay. Dying is okay as well. But I'll never allow you to be dishonored. And I'll always protect your reputation as a devotee. I'll always protect your devotion. So that's what Krishna is trying to say. And it's past few years, like looking at the lives of devotees, one question I've always had in mind is when you look at history, it's always the best devotees of the Lord who are always suffering the most. Have you noticed that? I don't know. If you look at lives of devotees, it's always the really good devotees who are suffering. People like me are enjoying life, you know. It's fine. I don't have much problems. I'm living up there. Okay, there's no hot showers nowadays. It's freezing cold showers since the last 3 months. They're trying to work out the boiler. But apart from that, there's not really much suffering. So I'm okay. But you see that actually the good devotees of the Lord are suffering the most. Like Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam. He's just suffering. His whole life is just suffering. They're just, his own father's just trying to kill him the whole time. But Krishna is protecting him and he's protecting his devotion. And in this way, he's glorified. If you look at the life of Vritrasura, okay, he was a demon, but he was a devotee. Krishna didn't protect him. He actually died. Indra actually killed him. You know, it took him like 6 months to chop his head off because he was such a strong person. 6 months or a year. Anyway, it took a long time. So Vritrasura actually died. But Indra wasn't glorified. Vritrasura was glorified because he was protected by the Lord. Bharat Maharaj, Krishna didn't save him from becoming a deer in his next life. But even though he was a deer, he remembered, he still maintained his devotion, which is what Krishna protected. If you look at Draupadi, she wasn't dying. Okay. Krishna didn't protect her sons. Krishna didn't protect her, you know, but he protected her honor. He saved her from being disrobed. Okay? So she stays as a devotee. Bhishma also died, but Krishna protected his devotion. In the whole process, Bhishma is glorified so much of how the whole act of Krishna dying is said to be like an act of devotion in the Bhagavatam. That's how it's glorified. Bhishma died so wonderfully. Even though he died. So Krishna didn't protect him from death. Parikshit Maharaj got cursed and he died after 7 days. Krishna didn't save him from death. He could have. But what's Parikshit Maharaj remembered for? He's not remembered for, nobody says, who's Parikshit Maharaj? Oh, he's the guy who put the snake around the sage's neck. No one says that. They say he was the person who had 7 days to die and who completely depended on the Lord, and he spent his whole 7 days totally focused on the Bhagavatam. And Krishna glorified him because of that. If you look at the life of Srila Prabhupada as well, in his whole life, if you read the Lilamrita, the whole life, Prabhupada's life is a struggle. Like right from the beginning days, like from when he was young, through his married life, and especially after he came to the West, there was so much struggle, so many crazy things were happening in Prabhupada's life. And we won't go through those details, but Krishna protected him and glorified him. Okay, and in fact, Prabhupada's last days on this planet, when he leaves his body, said to be the final lesson. It's the perfect way to leave one's body. And Prabhupada was teaching everybody, even in his last days, giving important lessons. If you look at more recent times, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, amazing devotee. And Krishna didn't protect him. You may say, why didn't Krishna protect him? But Krishna did protect him. Krishna protected the devotion. Till the last days of his life, he was fully Krishna conscious. And we look at if you read the pastimes of his realizations when he was leaving, he was so dependent on the Lord. Okay? Even Tamal Krishna Maharaj left his body. Krishna didn't protect him from death, but he protected the devotion. He's glorified so much now. Many, many years ago, I went to Vrindavan and I met Indra Prabhu in 2009. He gave me an instruction. He said, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Namekam Sharanam Vraj. He said, just surrender to the holy name. I'm sure he said that to many people. But I spent a few hours with him in his room and we spoke for a while. And he was an amazing devotee. But he wasn't that famous then. He wasn't that glorified then. Okay, he was, but he wasn't so much. But since he left his body, it's like he's glorified so much because of the amazing things he did. So, you know, again, Krishna protected him, even though he didn't physically protect him. And if you look at the life of, you know, we have the picture of Jayapataka Maharaj here. He's like a soldier. Like, Krishna didn't protect him from the stroke. Okay, he could have, but he didn't. But the things that he's doing now, he's carrying on wholeheartedly. He's like a soldier, just preaching still. So Krishna is protecting the devotion. And it also brings to mind something about Shruti Prabhu. That, again, you may think, well, why did he have cancer? Why couldn't a pedophile have cancer or something? But, you know, Krishna didn't protect him from cancer, but Krishna is protecting him in his devotion. He's even more fixed in his devotional service now. He's still thinking of Krishna. So Krishna is protecting him. And because of this, he is glorified even more. And I would also like to mention Janakinath Prabhu. He is also amazing. Krishna didn't protect him in one way, but he is protecting him in a different way. So Krishna always protects his devotees. So my point is this. What Krishna is trying to say is, if you die, it's okay. Okay, everybody has to die. If you're suffering, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Everybody has to suffer, he says. But if you depend on me, then I'll protect you. So Krishna protects. Krishna always protects the devotion. So if someone's going through some suffering, don't worry about it. Don't think that Krishna is not protecting them. He's just not, our conception of protection is different. Now, one thing also I would like to finally talk about just very quickly is on dependence and what actually dependence means sometimes. And this is one thought that was going on through my head, is that sometimes, you know, people come to, you know, the brahmacharis or the sannyasis and people who are in saffron, and they kind of respect, give you a lot of respect. They say, oh Prabhu, you've given your whole life to Krishna consciousness. You're so young, but you've given the best years of life to Krishna. So they respect you. And I was just reflecting on this, thinking, you know, they say you're depending on the Lord completely, but am I really depending on the Lord? Or am I depending on the facilities that the Lord has given me in the ashram? Okay, I have a place to stay. I have a place, you know, I don't have to worry about food. The food comes ready. It's more like, hey, I'm enjoying here, you know. Am I actually depending on Krishna? Or I'm just utilizing the facilities that are available in the ashram? If you're depending on Krishna, then you should utilize those facilities and do even more, instead of just hanging around and enjoying the life that we have here. So it's just something for me to think about. It's just made me think a little bit more. But it's the same situation for people who are living outside as well. That you may have a good job, you may have a good career, family, everything's going great for you. And then you're practicing Krishna consciousness on the side. But are you really depending on Krishna? In fact, sometimes I do admire people who are out there who can't get it together. because they're fully depending on Krishna, because things are not working out for them. And same in the ashram as well, people who can't get it together. So they're always thinking of Krishna. But if facilities are great around you, it's very difficult to think of Krishna. And that's why in this chapter, the famous prayers of Kunti Devi, where she says, please give me more calamity. Because it is very natural for us to not think of Krishna when we got it easy like that. So somebody, I was just discussing with this with somebody yesterday, and it's like, if you got problems in life, it's a good thing. If you got problems in your relationship, if your relationships are not working out, if nothing in your life is working out, it's actually a good thing, because that makes you depend on Krishna more, because you got nothing else to depend on. Who are you going to depend on? And if you depend on Krishna, then Krishna will protect your devotion. He may not give you the money you need if you're going through a financial struggle. He may not sort your relationship out. He may not, you know, give you all the things that you think is considered his protection, but he will protect your devotion and he will look after you. And if you're fully dependent on Krishna, then you will go back to Godhead at the end of this life. That's what Krishna is saying. So that's what I had to say. Thank you very much. We're coming close to 8:30. I didn't see many people fall asleep, just the one or two regular ones, so I must have done well. Do we have any questions?